Genesis chapter 8. You know, you don't always know what is going on in other people's lives. That's why it's good to share the prayer request. And in Genesis 8, there's actually a fair bit of spiritual insight and a lot more than maybe just reading through the chapter. It's only 22 verses. You might let on. And I had other stuff ready, and just the last little bit, I was thinking about this opening phrase in Genesis 8, verse 1. And it's a Bible doctrine, actually. And it's taught all through your Bible. It says, "And God remembered Noah." And there's so much more in that than just those four words. There's just so much in there. The Germans used to say, everything depends upon the blessings of God. And I don't know if we sometimes slow down long enough to realize that. I don't know about you. I went through the whole first part of my life, and my dad went through the first 48 years of his life, and we never prayed. We didn't even pray over our food. We were certified thoroughbred heathen. And yet somewhere in your heart you thought that you needed God.
Yes, sir.
I was always thankful that we got saved before my youngest brother got killed. Mm-hmm. And I was thankful the Lord took him home at 15 before his mama died at 54. I was thankful for that. But see, I already knew God. So I had something to reference. I had something to look back on. I had no Bible growing up. I mean, you might as well go out like we did little kids and look at the night star and say, you know, first star I see tonight, wish I might have the wish. You might as well.
Yes, sir.
We solved many a thing by flipping a coin and drawing the short straw. Many a thing. And I don't know if we realize that there's so much in this book that totally tells us we are totally dependent upon God, even when we don't know it.
That's right.
Have you ever thought how dependent a little baby is when it comes into this world?
Oh, man.
And it doesn't know it?
Yeah.
And have you ever had them grow up and they forgot?
Yes, sir.
How dependent they were at one time? That's why occasionally it sobers them up a little bit when children come along, and then a little other things happen and other things happen. And so I'll wait and do the other maybe, because we might be in Genesis a couple of sessions, but Genesis 8. But it says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped." That is a reminder, by the way, that there's a lot more water out there.
Yes, sir.
That he could have used, right, if he had not put a bow in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And we have already, as human beings, tried God's patience a lot since the day that Noah got off the ark.
Right.
And the only reason he hasn't pulled that stopper and let that water come down again is he promised.
Right. Yeah.
He remembers his promise.
Amen.
And it says the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And for this morning, though, for the time we have and the verses I'd like to look at, we won't read the whole chapter, we'll come back to it, but the idea is this, the ark comes to rest, and then time passes. Days pass. Months pass. The water starts going down. So I think sometimes we think everything just happens.
Yeah.
And we got to realize that the Bible's written so that we can get hold of it if we'll slow down enough. You know, I still have in my mind the picture of a real saint is someone who at some time in their day, and at least a couple times in their week, you find them sitting in that rocking chair on the porch or whatever, with that Bible in their lap,
mm-hmm,
and they're chewing on it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They're ruminating on it. That's a Christian.
Right.
That's not just some preacher.
Right, right.
That's not just somebody who's bored out of their mind. Okay? Because this is everything for a child of God.
Yes,
the one thing that happened to me when I got saved is somebody put a Bible in my hand. I'd never read one. And I started reading. I was like, there is something strange about this thing.
Yeah.
It was a New Testament of Psalms, one of those vest pocket size, you know, the Gideon thing, King James, thankfully. About 6-8 months later, I had an car accident, almost was killed. I was bad shape. Bad, bad shape. And literally all I could do was lay there. I could read, but I wouldn't remember for a while. I didn't hardly know my name. And I remember reading it and reading it and reading it. I'd read the New Testament through and through in Psalms, and I just devoured it. I mean, I don't know how many times I read it through in a 3 to 4 week period before I even understood what hemisphere I was in. But I know this, every time I read it, I was like, there is nothing like this.
Yeah.
There's nothing like this. This is strange. And all through the years then, this book has been something different to those of us who've gotten saved, but put our nose in it. Because there's something it does to your whole being when you read it. Your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind, your heart. It does something to all of us, our whole being. And so I want us to just go through, and you might not make a bunch of notes, but if you feel like it, if you would turn to some scriptures with me, I want to talk about God remembers. God remembers. It says here that God remembered Noah. And I want to say this to you. If God had left Noah sitting on that ark, sitting on top of Mount Ararat, you wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be here.
Amen. That's right.
We are not that clever
as
we think. We are not that self-sufficient as we think. He makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. When I lived down under, it was literally fire or flood outside the main cities. Fire or flood. You were either in a drought or you were in flood. That's how extreme it is there. Down there in Texas, we went through a spell 3 or 4 years where, I mean, one fellow said it was so dry the frogs didn't know how to swim. You know, I mean, when it rained the next time, they had to all get swimming lessons. And I mean, it was so bad, you just couldn't do anything. And we forget that this place was made by God. And we forget, and especially we forget as things go on good and better and better and better. And then you have one little bad day, you know. Isn't it amazing that if you don't have something planned outside, the rain's okay? But if you do have something planned outside, the rain's not okay. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I read of a couple, they went on their honeymoon to this beautiful mountain place, and it rained first day, and it rained the second day. By the third day, the girls were frustrated. They wanted to go hiking and all this stuff. And every day, there was a fellow sitting in that rocking chair whittling, making stuff. And by about that fourth day, she was in such a huff, she turned up. She said, "How can you be so peaceful when this rain is ruining my honeymoon?" And he slowed down, he put his knife down, he said, "Missy," he said, "I learned a long time ago, when it rains, let it." There's some wisdom in there now. I hope you'll remember that one. That saved my bacon a few times. I used to do a lot of framing. And when you're wore out and you need a break, the rain's okay.
Amen.
But buddy, when you're behind and need to put a few shekels in your pocket, that rain will stress you out. We used to pray for a poor man's rain. Poor man's rain is it rains at night, so you can work in the day. We used to call it poor man's rain. Let's pray for poor man's rain because we need to work tomorrow. Amen. And I'm saying to you that God remembers is a bigger statement than you think. Now, the Bible does teach that He does. Look in there, chapter 8. Look at chapter 9, for example. Chapter 9. And in chapter 9 there, Noah comes off that ark and he says, look what he says in verse 13, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." Verse 15, "And I will" what? "Remember my covenant." Those are some powerful words, brethren. Those are powerful words. You know, if he didn't remember his covenant, verse 16, "The bow shall be in the cloud. I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." Mankind has so offended God that were it not for that bow, when God looks at it from heaven, it's all around the earth.
Yes.
The only reason you and I only see half of it is because we're standing on a curved earth and we can only see from horizon to horizon. When he sees it, it's a circle.
Mm-hmm.
It encircles us. And we're in the middle of that circle. We're safe.
Amen.
We have so offended God as a human race that were it not for that, it would happen more than once.
Right. Yeah.
You got to think about that sometimes. And so it says he remembered and he said, "I will remember and I will." Look at Exodus chapter 2. We're just going to run some verses actually. And I've got a few points, you know, to help maybe help you remember it or something. And the first point is this, the absolute need to be remembered by God. Exodus 2:24. Think about this. And God heard their groaning. Now watch. And God remembered His covenant. I think about Israel. And if you fellows think about what they were doing at the time, they were slave laborers.
Yeah.
I'm talking about dawn to dusk. I'm talking they were backbreaking. They didn't care. They would use them up. And once they wore out, that was, they didn't care. They just God had blessed these Israelites and they're multiplying. So these fellows, these Egyptians, had an overabundance of manpower. And the only purpose of the manpower was to use it up. They didn't need to conserve it. And they are crying to God and saying, God, we've had enough. We've had enough. We've had enough. But if God didn't do Exodus 2:24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered. If He had not, they would have stayed right down there. They weren't getting out of there. You know, it would do us well to remember that we have an absolute need to be remembered by God. Just as Noah is sitting on that ark, he made it through the flood. But there's just a little more to get taken care of there, amen?
Sure.
Not only that, but then his offspring start offending God. And he needed God to remember that covenant. And so in Exodus 2:24, it says they remembered it. Come over to Numbers for a minute. Numbers. We'll just run some references here. The absolute need to be remembered. And so, you know, you're reading your Bible, and next time you're reading through Genesis, start your year, you know, Genesis might be, for Christians, one of the most read books in the Bible.
Amen.
Because you usually get through it.
Yeah.
And then Exodus, not too bad, but you get Leviticus and Numbers, man, and you bogged like bogged can be. When we were managing a breeding farm in Vero Beach, Florida, they had gone down there and they had dug canals, and they had reclaimed all the land that was swamp. And it was wonderful grazing land. I mean, it was beautiful. But you had to keep those canals going. You had to dredge them constantly. You had to have a dredger going there constantly because all that soil was washing off. And if you did, you get bogged. And there were some places still that were dangerous. And so my dad hired this one guy, and we had big old tractors, huge with bat wing mowers on them. You had to keep it mowed so they could graze. The more you mow it, the better they graze. And he told the guy, wherever you see those little things sticking up, those little tops, don't go there. And so nighttime came after the first day, and the guy, his truck was gone. I went to the front of the property, his truck was gone. I went back looking, what's the deal? And I go back there, and off in the distance, I can make out, this tractor, and I can make out this batwing mower, and then beside it is the bulldozer we had. Only it's about 2 foot deep. What that guy done is he got that mower stuck, that tractor, that Ford 8000 up to the block. Then he decided he'd get himself out of trouble and he went and got the bulldozer. And he sunk it. Then he decided the best thing he could do was go home. And he did. He just counted the day's pay lost because he didn't want anybody taking the rest of his hide. It was gone. I mean, it sunk. And the thing about life is we are literally dependent upon God.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And when you get in a situation, we forget that life will bog down without Him.
Right.
Now, there's a blessing in this. When your life gets bogged down, if you've been remembering Him, there's some verses we'll talk about that means He hasn't forgotten you.
Yeah.
That's important.
Right.
See, watch. Here's how our mind works. Without God, I'm going to get bogged down. Well, then when you get bogged, your first thought is, has God forgotten me? That wouldn't be an abnormal thought. You know, some people don't think that way. I worked for a fellow that didn't think that way. It wouldn't even enter his mind that maybe he ought to give God a little time. And you know what happened? It got worse and it got worse. It always got worse. It never got better. It was like an accident looking for a place to happen all the time. And it never entered his mind to say, I wonder if I'm remembering God here. I wonder if some of this could be avoided. And so in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9, if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Now here's the thing. We have an absolute need to be remembered by God. So one thing we ought to do as believers is know the things that God has given us as promises. See, here's the thing. if I end up suffering through something after I've agreed with and applied the promises of God, then there's some other things we'll look at that I can lean on about God remembering. But what I want to make sure is that I've availed myself of the things of God. And that's what we learn from Noah. We see Noah here in chapter 8 and verse 1, and he says God remembers Noah. Well, Noah's where he ought to be.
Yeah.
Now, don't you think that in their mind, it wasn't a year on that boat? You know, God didn't tell him how long he'd be on that boat. You know why? That'd be a temptation not to get on that thing.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be in this coffin for a year.
Yeah.
That's a long 40 days, 40 nights don't seem too long. So he just told him, he said, it's going to rain 40 days, 40 nights. And can't you see Miss Noah after about 100 days saying, Noah, how long are we going to be on this boat? He said, well, that was one of those things I wasn't told. Well, why don't you go get a hold of God and find out, you know? I mean, years ago, the kids used to have, before all the fancy video games, they had this little video game, and when you stopped the player, he would tap his foot like this. And that's how I see most Christians. That's how we get, isn't it? You know, you get in line somewhere. Nowadays, everybody's like, you know, you got to wait in line 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know? Somebody doesn't pull off at the stoplight in the first 4 seconds. I mean, we're not even in New York City. They're doing it here in Radcliffe.
Yeah, right.
Give me a break. You'd expect it in New York City, but then you expect to get out and whoop the guy there too. But the idea of it is this, is we have an absolute need to be remembered. Let's go to the Psalms. Well, on the way, grab 1 Samuel. Grab 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. This is a good example. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know what happens when you have a need you can't do yourself and nobody can do? You're at a crossroad. You're at a choice.
Yeah.
Y'all remember Yogi Berra, the Yankees catcher?
Yeah.
So profound. He'd say, when you get to a fork in the road, take it.
Yeah.
Okay. He's the one who said baseball is 90% physical and the other 50% is mental. Okay, we got 140% going, right? But the idea is this. When you come to a fork in the road of give up or go to God, here's what you want Him to do. Look at her prayer. You remember her? She, verse 10, she's in bitterness of soul and prayed and wept. You know what she's asking for? A good thing. A good thing. She's asking for a right thing. So much so that she's willing to give it to God if He'll just give it to her. This is like David at the well, the water of the well of Bethlehem, where David says, oh, that I had a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem. And the men break through the battle and they literally risk their lives and bring it back. And he says, I can't drink that. This is the same as drinking you guys' blood. And so he goes a step higher and pours it out to the Lord. He honored them by honoring the Lord. Look what she said, verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me.
Right.
She is in such grief that he thinks she's been drinking.
Right.
You go to this context, she is so beside herself, and she is so overcome with this, she looks like she's inebriated, like she's drunken. And he rebukes her, and she says, that's not the case. And he said, oops, sorry, ma'am, you know. But then he says, verse 17, Eli answered and said, go in peace, the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now watch this. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. And her countenance, mark this, was no more sad. Another whole thought, but this. As soon as she believed that God would remember her, it affected her inner being completely. We say in the horse business, when you go in and you feed the horse and then you go to exercise it and there's some food left, you say they're off their feed. And I said respectfully, her husband looked at her and went, Hannah, what's wrong with you? You're off your feed. Okay. I wasn't saying she's a horse. I'm just saying the idea is, what's the matter? You're not eating. Don't you notice that? I guarantee you, if I'm not eating, something's wrong. Okay. If I'm off my feed, something is bad wrong. But the idea is this. When you come to these things and you look at them, you realize she went away and look, her countenance was no more sad. Had anything changed? Except one thing. She believed that God would what? Remember her.
Right.
Amen. I believe with all my heart when Noah got on that ark, he believed. She's like, Noah, it's awful out there. It's crashing down out there. The world's coming to an end.
Yeah.
He said, ours isn't. God will remember us.
Mm-hmm.
We have an absolute need to be remembered by God. We need Him to remember us. Nehemiah prayed that over in Nehemiah 13. On your way to Psalms, let's look at it real quick. We're just going to run some references this morning for a few minutes. Bring out a few points. We won't have time to even do them all because your book, listen, this word remember or some form of it in our King James Bible, that thing's over 200 times in your Bible. That's a bunch of times. Numbers, Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. And Nehemiah has a prayer here. He says, I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Here he is. Remember me, O God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. He knew he had an absolute need to be remembered by God. In the Psalms, David writes over and over and over. Look at Psalm 9. We'll just run some references. Psalm 9. An absolute need. If I've gotten anything out of Genesis 8 today, it's that God remembers, but I have an absolute need for Him to remember. Psalm 9. Psalm 9, if you would. See, we have this great need. Okay? And, he says, verse 12, when He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them ready. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. The reason we need and want to stay humble before God is we need Him to hear our cry. We want Him to remember. Look at Psalm 20, a prayer, a wish for someone. Psalm 20, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. That's a good parent's prayer. It's a good pastor's prayer. It's a good partner's prayer. We want God to remember the things we have brought to Him. It's not that we can impress Him. It's that it's an example of our heart. And the verses I won't get to them all. But look at Psalm 25, maybe two more pages over, Psalm 25. I want to throw this in here. We need God, we need the absolute need for God to remember. Now, one of the things we need for God to remember is what He has promised He will forget. You getting this? We want God to remember what He promised He would forget. Okay? Get a hold of that a minute. The Lord says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll forget some things. You come to me, confess them, I will forget them. And He says, I will remember to forget. Glory to God. Look at Psalm 25, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Man, is that powerful? What David knew, that's what he needed. Look at the verse above it. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. And we could go through so many of them where we need Him to remember to forget. Okay? We have an absolute need. I want to talk secondly, though, about this. The awful consequences of being forgotten by God. The awful consequences. Now, He's not going to forget that any human that ever lived exists. But we could get ourselves in such a position. Look at Psalm 74 for a minute. You can get yourself in such a position. The Lord says, I'm going to put you out of my mind. Have you ever thought one of the things that is going to be so bad? Hell has fire. It says so. Hell has torment. It says so. It shows us that. But imagine knowing that once you were there, that's it.
Right.
Not a chance.
Right.
Not a chance, as they say, in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Of Him remembering you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, is that sobering or what?
It says,
Verse 2 of Psalm 74, remember thy congregation, he says. But jump down to verse 18. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Verse 25, forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increases continually. And there's more and more and more. Listen, every being that would go to hell, God is going to totally forget to show them any mercy. He's going to totally forget. It's like their name is wiped out. See, it'd be one thing if you could just cease to exist. That's what everybody's hope is now. You mark it down. Their idea is, well, it's all over. Oh, no. No, no. You'll have your memory if you go there. You'll remember every time you could have accepted Jesus Christ. You'll remember every breath of fret. You'll remember without being able to. You'll remember every good thing there was. And then you'll remember that God has forgotten you. Now, that is not a pleasant thing to say. But I'm going to tell you this, I'd be the dirtiest dog on the face of the earth if I didn't proclaim it, because it is so. The awful consequences of being forgotten by God. I want to talk about a third thing real quick on this thing of remembering about us as people. The agony of feeling forgotten. Look at Psalms with me, 31. The agony of feeling forgotten. This is getting us over into the realm of a Christian's life. Now, the world tries this on their own level. You got to understand that. Now, listen, religion tries this, and rightly so. They call it coping devices. They talk about how to deal with things. Listen, why wouldn't you try to cope with life?
No.
You'd have to find a way to deal with it. Some people live in denial. Some people live in distractions. All kind of different things. But look at Psalm 31 for a minute. Psalm 31, verse 11. I was a reproach among all mine enemies. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but David, he was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
David is minding his own. How would you feel if you're David, you're minding your own business, and you're playing your little portable harp, and you're out there watching the sheep, and life is good. Man, when I grew up with horses and stuff, the hardest place for me was school. Even though I liked learning. If I was near a window, I used to think, I wish they'd put me in a bunker somewhere so I could get my school done. Because if I could see that green grass, and I could see the evidence of that breeze blowing, and that sun shining, I wasn't there.
Amen.
I had 1,000 miles there, not 1,000 yards there. I mean, I was not there. And it's just so hard. So here's David. He's out on the hillside, folks. And life is good. And his old prophet shows up. And they said, David, come on. We don't get to rest till he looks at you. And then he says, you are going to be it. He has no choice in it. He has no ambition in it. I don't think he ever even wanted it. You know, when you read about his cousins, they all loved warfare. They liked killing the sons of Zeruiah. He didn't. He did it because he had to. He was a soldier. But he was called to be. Now, the lion and the bear, not a big problem. And it got to the point where Philistine, okay, if you want, this is how you want to sell it, fine. Goliath.
Yeah.
So David goes through life, and all of a sudden, because he's obeying God, he gets this reproach on him because Saul doesn't want to face the fact that God said, now, ready? God sacked Saul for just disobeying some certain orders.
Yes.
That's how important obedience is to God.
Yes.
So David said, verse 11, I was a reproach among all mine enemies. Look, but especially among my neighbors. Strangers, who cares what a stranger thinks of you? Haven't you ever seen the little thing that says, when I was in my 20s, I worried what people thought about me. When I got into my 30s, I just didn't care what people thought about me. And when I hit 40, I realized nobody was thinking about me.
Amen.
Yeah.
I saw that one time. That was 30 years ago. I've never forgotten. It helps me. I was like, the sailor's retiring. And his officer said, sir, I think I left everything in good shape. He said, don't worry about it. He said, go there and stick your finger in that glass of water, pull it out. Whatever hole's left, That's how much I'm going to miss you. See you. He said, life will go on. Look, a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mine. I am like a broken vessel. Verse 22, I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. But watch. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried. I've said to you before, you heard me say, in the Psalms, when David starts a psalm, his head's a mess a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Finally, he says, I think I'll just turn it over to my heart and it all gets straightened out. Bob Jones Sr. would say, give God your heart and he'll straighten out the kinks in your head. Mm-hmm. It's that thinking that kills us. And I would say the agony of feeling forgotten. And let me just say this. We could go through many verses. We're running out of time. But listen. He said in Luke 12 that the sparrows are not forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if have you ever let that sink down in there?
Mm-hmm.
They're flying all over the place. And they don't worry.
Yeah.
I can't fathom that yet. But I'm working on it. In the outback, every little town has a monument. Every little town, and at the bottom it says, lest we forget.
Oh,
and it'll be the names of all the men who served.
Yeah.
Our brother's always asking for prayer for military. You know what? A man can endure a lot if he believes he's not what? Forgotten.
Yes, sir. Right.
Am I right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, I realize, you can go to an extreme. I realize today people have gotten to the point where they leave church if they're not remembered.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. You've got to be careful of a culture that teaches creating an over-sentimentality. But if we're not careful, we get so busy, so very, very busy, that we forget to help others know they're not forgotten.
Yeah.
One thing might mean you're not forgotten to one person. There's no pain, there's no agony quite like being forgotten by somebody that mattered. Here's a verse for you right now for your life. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which he has showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hebrews 6, verse 10. God is not unrighteous to forget. And finally, the admonition to remember the God who remembers us. All through your Bible, he tells us, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord.
Yes.
Remember the Lord. Boy, I tell you, I guarantee you Noah looked back on those days and reminded himself.
Mm.
As soon as he got off that ark, you know what he did? He made an offering.
Yeah.
He got him an altar, buddy, and he made an offering. You know, one of the reasons you wake up, and even before you're out of bed, you can do what? Remember the Lord.
Right.
Because sometimes there's going to be the agony of feeling forgotten. The thing that can pull us back and get us through like it did David over and over. Read his Psalms and read them and read them.
Right.
And there's multitude of references is this. He knew when he gave his heart control. He knew when he went to the Scriptures. He said, I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. : Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications.
Yeah.
He could rest and say, God remembers. God remembers. And that's a powerful thing. And I've thought about Noah. I've been meditating on that thing and watching it. We'll go through some of the lessons in that chapter. But it said God remembered Noah because God remembers. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us to remember Thee because You remember us. Lord, You said that we love You because You first loved us. And so, Lord, may we remember You because You have remembered and do remember us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.